I'm not a political person. I do not really actually like politics. And if I had met Bayat and he was a politician at the time, I'm not sure if we'd be together.
You have a favorite American president?
From the past.
From the past?
Obama, for sure. As a typical American, I moved a lot before I made my way to Basel. I lived in many cities in the U.S. I lived in Spain. So for me, home has always been where I'm living.
Das ist 1776, der Amerika-Podcast mit dem Peter Hossli.
Und mit der Nicoletta Cimino. Heute haben wir einen Gast, und zwar Tracy Jans. Sie ist eine Amerikanerin, ist Expertin für Biostatistik und sie arbeitet am Tropeninstitut in Basel.
Und Tracy Jans, das kann man sagen, ist eine von mehreren First Ladies von der Schweiz. Ihr Mann ist nämlich der Bundesrat Beat Jans. Er ist Vorsteher vom Eidgenössischen Justiz- und Polizeidepartement.
Die beiden sind seit 25 Jahren ein Paar. Sie haben zwei Töchter und sie leben in Basel. And because Tracy Jans feels more comfortable speaking in English, we now switch to her mother tongue. Tracy Jans, welcome to 1776. You represent what we actually are trying to do with our podcast, to build bridges between the United States and Switzerland. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, as I said, we are building bridges between the two countries. You have settled to Switzerland many, many years ago. What kind of bridges are you building?
I think what I love is I feel like I have the privilege to know two places very well. And this is always great because they both have things that are really fantastic and things you think, okay, we could work on that. And I do always quite an exchange with friends and family. And at the end of these, I realize everyone's like, you're really selling Switzerland. So I think I'm doing some diplomatic work since I've been living here to at least the people that I know.
Many people think that the USA and Switzerland are quite alike, except maybe the size of both countries. But they're different. How close or far apart are the two countries?
I think they do have more similarities than differences. But I think there's three things that kind of have struck me living here. One is I think there are societal differences. I think the U.S. has this idea of like, if you work hard and you do everything, you can achieve anything. And I think Switzerland has a little bit more of this nobody left behind philosophy, which I actually find wonderful. I think they have some educational differences. So the more education, the better is the U.S., you know, so that we're getting more and more educated, where I think Switzerland really assesses how much do you really need to meet your goals. Mm-hmm. And different people need different levels of education. And I think also there's political differences. I think in the U.S. we do a lot of flip-flopping. You're ruling now. You have the power. Let me change what the predecessor did. Whereas in Switzerland, you know, we have this group rule strategy, which I also really appreciate.
It's more slow and more stable, maybe.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Are there things in Switzerland that you just don't get, that you still don't get after all these years?
I think that I keep trying to explain to people, and it's one of the things I think I miss the most about the U.S., is I miss these short exchanges with people that are strangers. You may never see them again, but you share this moment. And I think it took me a long time to realize that's what I was missing. Mm. Because when I go out onto the street, I'm looking around. I'm looking for I don't know what. I have a mission, but I'm looking for something else. And it's really hard to get that here. So sometimes, you know, you have an experience and, you know, something funny happens on the bus. You know, somebody lets out a big burp or something silly. And you have this look with somebody else, this shared moment of just laughter, a little bit silent. And it just that moment, it exemplifies that moment in a way that doesn't happen when you're all by yourself. This kind of sense of aloneness, you know. So I really am surprised that is something that I think is also, I wouldn't say it's discouraged in Switzerland, but when I talk to people about it, it's not even on their radar. They wouldn't even think to like look for or want to have those moments. maybe they're you know, also this idea of the shallowness of these interactions, that they're fake, or people always ask you how they are, but they don't really care how you are. This, and I don't think that's really true. I actually think you get something from these interactions, and this, yeah, is something I really find I miss.
It's actually beautiful what you just described. I mean, it was always the first thing what I liked when I landed in New York, that people actually start to flirt and, you know, for a couple of minutes and then they go apart. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I discovered nobody does that anymore because everybody is looking in their phones. So the phone is actually destroying one of the beautiful things about the U.S.
It's absolutely true.
You've been living in Switzerland for 25 years. Your family lives in Basel. Where is your home?
You know, I move as a typical American. I moved a lot before I made my way to Basel. I lived in many cities in the U.S. I lived in Spain. So for me, home has always been where I'm living. It's where I make my space, and that can be for several months and it can be for many, many years. So I would say my home is Switzerland.
You have a Swiss-American family. What's Swiss about your family and what's American about your family?
We were talking earlier about my children, and I think I see in them this, you see what it is to grow up under two different cultures, although in one country. Yeah. And I find that they are a little bit hesitant to say when something isn't working. You know, we ordered something the other day and it came and I hated it. And I was like, you know, and my children were like, so glad you were there and able to say that you didn't like it. And I'm like, I said it very nicely. And I took responsibility for the fact that I ordered it. I made a mistake and I would very much like to change it. And it was no problem for anybody. But that courage to say, oh, actually, I would like something different. Mm-hmm. This is the American part that my kids see and notice in me, and they try to emulate it. Yet at the same point, when I think they compare themselves to pure like Swiss families, they feel different. They feel more outspoken, a little bit, yeah, lively, I think they would call it.
Sometimes I think that Americans also are like waking up more the intellectual debate with their children. You know, there is a debate going on. And sometimes I feel that when I listen to American children, they have arguments and they talk back. And it's like different. There's a difference.
I think the education system is also really different in the U.S. This idea that you should be like kind of on stage and performing and debating. They do a lot more of that, I think, a lot more of presentations. And they do a lot here as well. Mm. But something about the way they teach children is to teach you to be able to argue or to discuss. And I think that that's also something that parents recognize is a very helpful skill. You know, a lot of American families, you sit around the table and you have conversations about what's going on these days, what's happening. Whereas I actually, though, I kind of like, I have a lot of my daughter's friends, they play games at the table. And that's something that I think an American family wouldn't do as much. They might then go to the TV and watch something. And so there's that aspect, too, I like in Switzerland. A little bit this, you're still spending family time together, but in a fun, playful way.
You went to school in the United States. You studied there. Your children are going to school in Switzerland now. How do you compare the two? I mean, do you sometimes wish that your children were schooled there or that you were schooled here? I mean, how do you compare the two systems?
My philosophy in being here was always like, don't try to change the system. Accept it. Follow it. Trust it. Swiss people come out and everybody's doing, you know, I think as a parent, you know, if you fight a system that you're living in, this is always going to be harder. So I've always had a very, very laid back approach to my children's education. And I actually really appreciate the Swiss system in a lot of ways. I like that they take a broader view of education. Education isn't just what you learn from the book. It's that you learn how to get to school by yourself from a very young age. Mm. It's that you learn to swim. You learn to ride a bike. Like, they're really providing some of what are the most basic things. Good habits on eating, starting with the snoonie, you know, in kindergarten.
Where they tell you what to bring and what not to bring.
Yeah, right? You got to follow the list. And so these things I've really appreciate. I really appreciate the system that doesn't say everybody has to go to high school, even when they're not inclined. So I've really actually really like, and I talk a lot to U.S. people about the trade school concept and how we really should bring that back instead of torturing everybody all the way through things that maybe they aren't interested in. And on the flip side, I a little bit miss also that taking people's what they're very good at and yes. allowing them to get better and better and to shine a little bit. There's in that bringing everybody with. Sometimes Switzerland doesn't allow people to run ahead. And that I think I miss that a little bit from the education system.
Yeah, I think that's a very Swiss thing. You know, if someone is brilliant at something, it's like we are kind of looking at the person and who is he thinking he is? You know, yeah. it's something that we...
It's a negative thing instead of a positive.
Yes, exactly. Whereas in the US, you would say, go for it and do it. And wow, you're so good. And I'm so happy for you and yes. good for you.
Yes. Yeah, that's our brilliant people are going to the United States and we lose them. That is a bit of a problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you said that home is where you are, but still, I mean, you're not an eremit. You would like to be in contact with people. For an American woman, how hard is it to have friends or to get to know other women, for example, and have friendship with Swiss women or with Swiss people?
I think that's definitely one of the challenges of integration is how do you meet people and who do you meet? And I was very aware of being an American and wanting to integrate. So I really wanted to integrate. And so when I came, I had this idea that I had to only have Swiss friends, which was naive in a thousand ways, especially because I didn't speak any German. But it took me a while to recognize that actually I need both. I need people speaking my mother tongue and maybe even not necessarily having to be American, but having some cultural things in common. Mm-hmm. And I needed Swiss friends because that's what true integration actually is and understanding the culture. And I had the benefit of having a Swiss boyfriend when, you know, that allowed me to meet Swiss people. That was the hardest, you know. Where are you going to meet them otherwise? And this was really, really helpful. When you don't understand a culture or you have you start to maybe feel a little bit negative about certain things you don't get, yeah. to have the lovely Swiss people that show you what it's really like or who people really are. And so that was key. And then I think you join organizations. So I think when I got pregnant, I joined an English speaking, you know, child birth trust group. And that was actually the key to a lot of my friends actually now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, integration is also happening through your job. And you are a biostatistician. What is actually a biostatistician doing all day long?
I was a, it comes from mathematics, basically. But what is great about statistics is it's taking math and it's creating the story. It's telling the story of the numbers. And this is what I really loved because I liked math or I could do math, but I wasn't so inspired by
Lucky
it.
Lucky you.
Yeah. But this was really – so basically I do a lot of research. So we do studies where we're trying to figure out, does this medicine work at all? Or I know the medicine works, but in this cultural setting, how do I ensure that the access to the medicine is there and the people are getting what they need and the help they need? So you test these things and you collect data. And then I get that data and then I try to tell the story of those numbers so that people understand what did we learn from this study and what can we take with us.
You work in Basel and Basel is a very renowned place for scientific research, for pharmaceutical companies. Was this the reason you moved to Basel or in the end was it the boyfriend?
I moved to Basel for a job with Novartis as a contractor. I had met Beat already a few times, but we were not dating. And I thought it was a very nice coincidence that I had a job offer where I knew a really nice guy.
Ah, okay.
At the job, I assume that you speak English. And,
yes.
And you learned some German, but, you know, we all speak different dialects. We speak this funny dialect. I mean, how hard is that for you?
So I grew up speaking, learning Spanish at school, and I spoke it relatively well, which is what motivated me to move to Spain in the first place. So I underestimated how hard it would be to learn German. And I think that the complexity, the nuances, I didn't speak any German when I came in, and I didn't know I would be staying. And if I had do it all over again, I would have done a 6-month intensive German course. But I was learning at night after work, you know, and it was really hard. Yet at the same point, people were so positive about how well you did that I also thought, oh, I've really got it, you know. But I've been definitely surprised how hard that's been. I always tell my family I'm like one umlaut away from disaster because I really struggled to hear the difference in the umlaut. I have many stories about, but one of them is when we were trying to buy a house and we went to the bank to try to understand the finances, and neither of us had ever owned a house or done anything, so we didn't even understand how it works in any language. So I asked a lot of questions about the third pillar and how it works and how you could use that to help buy the house. And it was like a day or two later, and Beat's like, you know, there's a few things you could work on to help your German. I was like, oh, okay, because he never really corrected my German. So I was like, I'm listening. And he said, well, in the bank during the meeting, you were talking about your three little pigs instead of the third pillar. Säule versus the Säule. I can't even
say
Säule and Säule.
I couldn't hear the difference. And I was like, so I basically said, if I give you my three little pigs, will you give me a house? He's like, pretty much. And I'm like, but how were you two not dying of laughter? How is that not the funniest thing?
He's obviously a very nice man.
He's a politician, I guess, because they both looked at me and no hint that I was speaking gibberish.
But did you get the hypoteca?
Eventually, not at this round, but eventually we managed.
So you're talking about your husband. I mean, you came into the Swiss spotlight with the election of your husband as a federal council. Swiss first ladies or first husbands are normally in the background. Some were maybe not that much in the background, but usually, you know, you're discreet and you do your life and everything. How do you want to fill that role of first lady?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to be authentic. And I'm a very curious person. I'm very open. I love meeting new people. I love new experiences, like doing a podcast. So I tend to be a yes person. And this will maybe bring me into different situations than maybe other first partners have found themselves in before. Also, I realize the Swiss Tropical and Public Health Institute, where I work, that's brought me into a lot of situations where I felt like I was able to make a difference. And I really, that's one of the parts of my job I love the most. But I always had this feeling that I had a bit more to give and there's more to do. And then when I came into this situation, I had also two experiences shortly after. And one was the World Economic Forum, being surrounded by world leaders and stakeholders trying to solve some of the biggest problems we have today. And then a few weeks later, I went on a charity trip with Every Mother Counts. This is a charity by Christy Turlington about access to maternal care for women. And we went to Tanzania to see the projects they support. In both of these situations, I just felt a deep sense of like possibility, of opportunity and responsibility. And I would not say these are necessarily connected, but I think this role opens up things and possibilities. And if there's a way that I can capitalize on that feeling of wanting to do more and wanting to be more helpful, then I would gladly take that on. So I really think authenticity is important and organic. So whatever that is, I want it to just be a process that works for me and what exists so far.
But I mean, in this role, is there anything that is expected from you from the officials or that is expected from you officially?
I don't think so. I mean, from what I understand, you have opportunities. You have invitations and you can take them or not take them. And this is up to you and your partner, I guess.
Or, I mean, are there expectations from your husband's party, or do you think there is some pressure from the general public?
I don't think so. I think it's kind of a maybe a perfect in between, you know? I mean, I'm walking around Basel and everything is very much as it was before, besides maybe some more smiles and nice comments from people, which is really lovely. Mm. So that's the best of it, is you can really live in a totally normal way. Nobody has expressed any expectations for me. I think people have recognized that it might change things, and that's made me think about how could it change things and how do I want it to change things? And I think it just made me feel like I have a bit more space and possibility to explore things I might not have otherwise.
You know, that's very American to say, oh, there's a field of possibilities that are opening to someone. I think someone typical Swiss would maybe say, ah, my life, I'm as free as I would like to be because my husband. And I just think that's very American. Swiss media keep hearing that your husband reminds them a bit of an American politician. You know, he's well dressed. He knows how to tie a tie. Has he become a bit American with you?
I think so. In some respects, I think he's a very shy. He's kind of introverted. And I've watched him kind of open up more as time has gone by. And now I was really, you know, when he was a Nationalrat, I didn't really see him work very much. But when he became Regierungsrat and particularly Regierungspräsidium, I saw him a lot giving speeches and interacting with people. And I was very impressed with how well he did that, mm-hmm. how comfortable he was in asking the questions or stopping the conversation to clarify or things that usually I would have thought he struggled with before. I mean, in politics, he also becomes a different person than maybe sometimes privately. But I do think that access, same way, I think I'm more, you know, I'm less American than I used to be. I've kind of gravitated some of the things I've learned and picked up from Swiss people, which is so, I think we're becoming a little bit closer together mm-hmm. culturally.
The media has also called him like Switzerland's JFK. And I mean, as Nicoletta said, you know, he wears suits that are actually perfect compared to some of the others. Does he embrace American political style?
I don't think that he is looking to America for inspiration, I would not say. I mean, I think he just appreciates what it means to, you know, I think when you are dressed well, people focus then on what you're saying and not what you're wearing and what's maybe wrong with what you're wearing. So it's not to make a good impression as much as also to just make it not the conversation.
Yes.
It does both. It's a dual purpose. I think he's just actually, he's really a very natural bridge builder he really sees it very practical. He wants to do things and accomplish things. And this quality comes across, and you combine that with he's actually just a really nice person. He's really like when people saw him at the election, that's who he is. That's really just him coming out as a very he shows you who he is. He doesn't hide it. He's not scared to be sentimental or he's a demonstrative and really positive person. And I think that comes across, and that's always who he has been. I'm guessing from the day he was born.
Mm-hmm. You said he's a very nice person. He's also supported your pursuing a career in the last 25 years. And I wonder whether now he is becoming federal counsel, whether you have to step back a little bit so he can pursue his career, or do you not have to do any changes?
It's true. We've always really supported each other and really made everything possible that we needed from each other. And I think what changed for me is just the recognition that I have to be very flexible. I have to pick up some of the he does do a lot at home, and I feel that absence when he's away. Mm. And also just to give everyone that feeling, the kids as well, that everything's okay. We're stable. We're here. We're moving along. And it's all going great. Nobody's having a crisis. It's all fine. But I think that's how I kind of recognize that I just have to be prepared for the unexpected and to step in and do what I need to do to let everybody get their stuff done. And of course, I have to get my own work done, but I don't see big changes. I will always continue to work
Are you a political person? Do you follow Swiss politics?
I'm not a political person. I do not really actually like politics. And if I had met Beat and he was a politician at the time, I'm not sure if we'd be together.
That's what Michelle Obama said also about her husband.
I am not sure because I really, in the U.S., politics is now at a terrible point, but it was not never my favorite thing. And so I would not have gravitated to somebody in that field. So no, I would not say I'm very, very political. I try to keep up on the news in general, but I do find myself reading, you know, in English, the news. So I do miss out on some of this stuff going on. But I have a lot of people who send me, you know, and discussing, of course, Beat always keeps me up to date.
So and when he decided to become a politician, you tried to stop him?
No. Well, I mean, no.
I mean, no.
I always joked with him. I'm like, how he did the bait and switch. You know, I'm like, I married an environmental scientist. and actually, I have to say, for a very long time, when people asked me what my husband did, I kept saying he was an environmental scientist well beyond when he was really more of a politician.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think it never occurred to me to stand in anybody's way. And when you see the joy someone gets from being in the right place, I mean, if you love somebody, that's all you want for them. And he really, at heart, is a good politician, and he loves it. He loves it. It brings him a lot of energy and a lot of joy. And this, of course, then brings us all joy.
You said you're not very interested in politics. Are you immersed in any way in U.S. politics at all?
Not intentionally, only through reading the news, which is mainly what it's about these days. But no, I...
You have a favorite American president?
From the past.
From the past?
Obama, for sure.
And why is that?
I think he stood for that hope we taught, that Americanness, that feeling that anything's possible. He made me feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I think he represented that for a lot of people.
Are you a member of the Democratic Party?
I am. I don't know we do membership the same way they do here. I think you just vote a certain way, but I'm not sure if there's a real membership.
I mean, the Democrats and the Republicans, they actually have strong chapters here in Switzerland. Are you engaged in any of their activities at all?
No, I really am completely out of politics. I feel like my family is doing its part already.
Mm-hmm. How often do you discuss U.S. politics at the dinner table?
We discuss current events at the dinner table, whatever that may be. Yeah, so it can often be politics, but it's usually more what's going on. And I usually really enjoy discussing the Swiss politics because that I have less access to, I feel like. And it's really interesting to hear. And then the kids are now at an age where they vote or they're interested and they have opinions and thoughts. And this is really interesting.
I mean, there's one topic that you might be discussing. Migration will be the topic at the U.S. election. I was just at the border between the U.S. and Mexico. And migration is the thing that your husband has to deal with every day. I wonder whether anything from the American side might be influencing him in that regard.
I don't know. I think it's a bit too early. I think it's a really hard topic, and I think we're not alone, every country, in trying to figure out what are the right solutions for that country in that context. Yeah, so...
It was a bit of a surprise that he actually has to deal with migration. People expected him to be in a different department, but he gets a lot of praise from
both sides
of the political aisle on how he's dealing with it.
Yeah, I think he's had a very good start, and I think this has been great. I think you just feel he wants to solve, not solve, it's a bit of an overstating of the word, but he likes to be productive, and he likes to try to make situations better. And I think this is an area where there's definitely work to do, and he's super interested in putting his energy towards improving the situation.
So we're just between us. Who are you going to vote for in November?
I am a Democrat, and I will be voting Democrat in November.
We are still among us. When the Jan's family, they have dinner every Sunday night. In terms of language, I mean, is the whole dinner in English or is it a back and forth between Baseldeutsch and English and Hochdeutsch? And how does one has to imagine that?
It's an absolute mixture. The girls have grown up. It used to be in English and when they were younger, because that was the only English they had anyway, was coming from me. But once I understood Swiss German, it just flows. They do not like when I speak German to them. Or my husband speaks English to them. This they just doesn't work. So they're just completely switching back and forth in a very nice way. So everyone's basically speaking their mother tongue.
Are they American or are they Swiss in how they see themselves, your daughters?
I really think they see themselves as dual citizens. They connected. What really surprised me was how little exposure they needed to have to my family to feel very close and very connected. This has been a wonderful surprise because I was very worried about it. But they have always been fascinated and they love it when we've gone there and these experiences have stuck with them. And I think they really carry them with you and they really feel connected to both places.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. You have two cultures and yes. It's a richness of being. Yeah,
definitely.
And your husband, will he become an American someday?
I can't imagine why. We haven't figured out what would be the benefit. A Swiss passport's a pretty good one to have.
But then you have more problems with your taxes.
And your bank accounts.
Yeah, exactly. How do you manage that, actually?
I just do it all separately. So, you know, we just try to keep a clear line of separation to make it easier.
Mm-hmm. You said before that you really like our system of education, you know, the Berufsbildung, that this is something that is a good idea. What Swiss things would you like to export?
I love the seasonal aspect of the grocery store. And I think that has been exported to certain aspects of the U.S., but I did not know this concept. I did not understand. I mean, also in Miami, there was everything always at the grocery store. And I couldn't have told you where things were grown and where they were coming from. It's really a whole gap in the education, to be honest.
They came from the airport.
Yeah. And so this was really a very interesting thing and such a smart one. So this I would really think is – and then, of course, when the strawberries do come, they taste so good. Mm-hmm. When it's really the season, it's the best.
And maybe something from the society. Would you like to export something to the United States? Or do you think, no? I mean, it's okay, like the way it is.
I would like to export the healthcare system. I really appreciate that everybody has the right to healthcare. Everybody has the ability and it's not tied to your job. So in the U.S., often your healthcare comes through your job. So if you find yourself in a situation where somebody gets ill, you can't change your job because then that illness is no longer covered under your new healthcare policy. I mean, it's really – and this I find very upsetting. So not only is the system here inclusive, the quality of the healthcare that you receive is amazing. So that I would very gladly export.
You know, we're two journalists having a U.S. podcast and we have asked you a lot of questions. Is there something you would like to know from us? Is there a question you have for us?
I think that I'm always, I sometimes find Swiss people hard to read. So that's something I a little bit miss, is being able to read a situation without words always. And in Switzerland, sometimes I feel like I use a ton of words. And at the end, I'm still not sure I understood what was happening, you know. And I think one thing that's been helpful to me integrating or to being happy in Switzerland is I can really laugh at myself. Mm-hmm. I find myself funny. My mistakes are funny. I'm not very sensitive. And this helps a lot. But sometimes at the end, I think, do the Swiss people think I'm crazy? Do I just seem like, you know, am I too talkative and laughing and all this stuff? And so sometimes I wonder what Swiss people think about not just me in particular, but Americans. You know, I know the stereotype, so I'm sure those. But yeah, I don't know. If
I find that a very keen observation. I mean, having lived in the US for a long time and being in Switzerland, going back and forth as well, I think that we believe on the surface that we are very similar and understand each other. But I really think that we are from two different cultures and we have to open ourselves up for this culture. And the Swiss people, they are not that open-minded. They're less open-minded than American people. And I think that might be the biggest difference. So we have to make a step towards American folks and be more open-minded to embrace this open-mindedness, I think. And then we would understand each other better.
I do. I think back to this concept of these interactions you have with strangers. I think there's a lot of loneliness and a lot of, I'm not sure it's, I wouldn't say it's unhappiness, but I think people could gain a lot if they reached out a little bit and opened themselves up to that possibility that they might see someone or meet someone new, or, and that might help a little bit with this, you know, this feeling that we, you know, and it's getting worse, like you said, with the phone. So people are getting further and further away. But in Basel, for example, during Fasnacht, this is the best. The people are all, everyone's looking at each other. Everyone's looking for a good experience and to have a good time. And it's such a wonderful Stimmung. And this, I would just say, export Fasnacht more often. I mean, you can, maybe not every aspect of it, but this, the way people are during Fasnacht is so outside of the normal. And it's such a wonderful thing to see. It's one of my favorite times of the year.
Well, Tracy Jans, thank you so much for being here and thank you so much for talking to us so openly. That was a great conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Ja, und wenn euch der Podcast gefallen hat, dann könnt ihr ihn weiterempfehlen, euren Freunden, euren Bekannten, der Familie. Man findet ihn überall auf allen Plattformen, auf Spotify zum Beispiel oder Apple Podcast.
Und dünnt uns natürlich möglichst hoch bewerten. Ich danke dir, Nicoletta. Tschüss.
Tschüss.